This podcast may contain adult language and themes, or it might not. We're not really sure. We haven't recorded it yet.
I'm Jason.
I'm Diggs.
I make software, music, and podcasts.
I connect people, personally and professionally, and I like talking with Jason.
This is the Candy Factory 5x5 podcast.
Five conversations.
Five random topics.
5 minutes each.
When we hear this sound,
we move on to the next topic. Next.
On every episode, we invite a very special guest to join us.
Hi, I'm Justin Quinn, top nerd at Headline Consultants, a digital marketing agency in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Top nerd. What a title that is.
I am a top nerd.
Justin Quinn, welcome to the program. And this is a very big day for us. On the last episode, it was a big day for us because it was our first video episode, which is exciting. But this is the big day for us because it's the first time we've had two Justins in a row on the show. This is a double shot of Justin's. Episode 32 is a big day.
We are just a dime a dozen, I'll be honest with you.
There are a lot of Justins everywhere. Yeah, I'm not going to dance around that any further, Justin. I know there are a lot of you out there. And we're glad you're part of the program, and we're glad that you're the Justin we have on this week. Maybe we should just do all Justin.
That'd be cool. Yeah. That'd be very cool.
Diggs, my friend, always a pleasure to see you.
You too.
Welcome back. If you're new to the program, the way this works is we have an iPad. His name is Frank. And Frank is going to present to us five random topics. He'll give us the first topic. We'll count down 5 minutes, and then we'll move on to the next topic. Everybody feel good?
Yeah.
Groovy.
All right, let's see what Frank has in store for us this week on episode 32 of 5x5. Gig economy.
Ooh.
Gig economy.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's a very good, it's interesting, right? A relatively new term.
Hmm.
Where did it start? Did it start with the Ubers and that kind of thing? Is that where it started, or did it start with like the freelance side? I've always been kind of, I know that
I would say freelance side.
The freelance side.
Yeah, I think, and that's, it's kind of cool too, because the Candy Factory kind of plays into that whole thing. You know, it's freelance, it's remote, you know, it's contract, and so you get, you know, people together. It's pretty cool. I've actually written a lot about the gig economy.
Oh yeah, is that right?
Yeah, from what I understand, it's like 40% of the workforce is now gig economy.
Wow!
How crazy is that?
So define that's it for nuts. Me. Tell me what the, you know. Like I've got these ideas, and that's why I said the Ubers and Instacarts and that kind of job. And then there's the freelance graphic designer, photographer. In your words, what's the definition of gig economy?
Well, so I think of the word gig, okay, and I think of like a job, you know what I mean? And so the gig economy is sort of like a job economy where people are in business for themselves, and or maybe they have a couple of remote workers, but primarily it's that one-on-one kind of a thing, that contractor-based relationship. And I think more and more people are kind of shifting to that because it makes a lot of sense. I mean, you don't have the bosses kind of breathing down your neck. You're your own boss. And in my case, I have like 12, 13 bosses.
Because
they're your clients, exactly. So that's kind of where my head goes with the gig economy. I could be wrong. I mean, I'd love to be corrected if I don't understand it correctly.
No, that makes sense to me. I would have thought the origin might have come from the music industry in terms of like if you're an aspiring musician and you're hitting the road and trying to get those types of gigs. That's not my field. And Jason, you have some experience in that. So.
I guess, if you think back to music business in the 70s, 80s, 90s, that is sort of the way it worked. It mimicked that whole idea, right? That, I lived in Nashville in the 90s. And so as a bass player, right, you're looking for work. And I would take, you'd say it, I got a gig playing with so-and-so, or I got a gig in the studio working with this guy or that guy or whatever. And so that was the term that we used, right, was the gig. And musicians were all considered independent contractors, unless you were hired by a publishing company. But even those were typically like a one-year contract or a two-year contract. You weren't necessarily an employee of the publishing company. You certainly aren't an employee of a record company if you're a musician and you get signed to a record deal. In fact, it's more like enslavement, you know, most of those deals. So
I can't believe I laughed at that, but it's true.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. But yeah, so I guess that maybe that does have something to do with the origin, but I would say a relatively new concept like, to be not just accepted, but like you said, Justin, we're like moving more and more toward it.
Well, yeah. COVID, I think, solidified that in a lot of ways too, because, you know, now, you know, you got people out of work. And so they're trying to take their former side hustle and make it their main hustle now.
Right.
So the first time I ever heard gig was when somebody said, "Hey, congratulations on the new gig." You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So mm-hmm. that I think kind of plays into what we're talking about there too.
Yeah. That's probably a carryover, like the whole music industry kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I was at back in New York, I think I've mentioned this before. So I worked for a subsidiary of eBay that was doing if you needed something from a store, we would pick it up and bring it to you. So sort of like Instacart, but specifically for like the Best Buys and Home Depots of the world. A lot of the folks that I did that job because I was home and just didn't want to be at home all the time. I was there for my grandfather was ill. But of the people I was working with, a lot of them considered their work as gig work because they were doing similar types of things, not just for eBay, but also for TaskRabbit and for regular like messenger services. And so they would sort of like, sometimes they would just be on for all three at the same time. It was just like what popped first is what they would, you know, do in that particular moment.
Right.
So it's like, I feel like that was the first time I heard about it when I was in that world.
Which would have been like the gig economy.
Right, exactly.
Or was it the digs economy? I mean, that's...
Digs economy. I like it.
I can dig it.
That's cool.
I can dig it.
That's where I think that's where we really should go from here. I really feel is you know, moving from the regular economy to the gig economy straight to the digs economy. And we're just going to let digs just craft it. You know, COVID's kind of a reboot. So there you go. Well... I hate to say it, fellas, but the gig is up on topic number one. This episode's 5x5. Topic number two coming at you from Frank. Bring it, Frank. Driving on the opposite side of the road
is interesting.
I've never done it myself, I have no frame of reference here.
So it's when I've described it to people, well, the first thing I tell them is the hardest part is not necessarily remembering to stay on that side of the road.
Right.
It's physically as the driver having the car on the wrong side of you. That's the tricky part. I dinged so many curbs in the first half an hour. Also, the first time I did it, I was picking up one of those hourly rental situations because it was the only way I could guarantee to get an automatic. Most of the rental companies in the UK that I was trying to deal with were all stick. And I was like, I'm not trying to drive on the wrong side of the road and try to relearn stick at the same time. You're going to lose a clutch. I'm going to lose a lot of money. This is just not worth it. So the first half hour, it was this really tiny street on I think the west side of London somewhere. And I was just terrified of leaving. Because there was so much traffic coming off the main road towards me. I waited until it was clear and just gunned it up the little road. And then it's honestly though, after 10, 15 minutes of being on the big main street.
Sure.
You kind of fall into it. It's actually not that bad.
All right. I have a big important question here. So when you were driving on the opposite side of the road, were you also on the opposite side of the car too?
I was. Yes.
So did that make it easier or more difficult?
That's a good point. So it's, I guess for me, the harder part was being on the wrong side of the car, not the wrong side of the road.
Okay.
We shouldn't say wrong. The other side of the car.
It's wrong. I'm sorry.
All the hate mail from England just started. It's going to be pouring in. Just pouring
in. It's wrong. It's wrong.
Well, you know why the original, the story behind why they have right-hand drive? Do you know about this?
No.
So the theory, I believe, is that it traces back to jousting, and that if most people were right-handed, so you typically jousted with your right hand.
Right.
Okay. And so it's sort of, and also your right hand was your sword hand. That's also why you were taught, you were supposed to be taught to wipe your behind with your left hand, because it's the right hand is what you were supposed to extend in friendship. I'm not saying that that's actually what people do. I'm just giving you the story.
So. Right. I'm making a mental note to wipe the poo with the left, because my right hand is my sword hand. I'm just making a note of that.
Well, that's also why you shake hands.
Why just try, Justin?
Well,
you
just
practice. Okay.
I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it.
That's fair.
So okay, I'm sorry to derail that, Diggs.
No, you're good.
You're jousting with the right. You got the sword with the right. And so, why do you drive on the left side of the road then?
Because then it was the fact that you still had to. The thinking was you'd still need to extend your hands out, like if you were interacting with something out of your window. Well, remember, early cars didn't have that window.
That's
so there was
right.
still the thought of if you are going to be doing anything, well, of course you need your right hand to be the one that's going out of the window to interact with whatever.
To hold the lance. Right?
Well, also the early cars had the gears were outside. So you also, the thinking was also like,
sure.
You know, if you're shifting, use your dominant hand.
Right. Yeah. Any idea why the other way happened? Like why our way happened? Like why? Because the car was here.
Yeah.
No way.
So the first engine
is what happened.
The first engine I think was in Germany. I think it was Benz or Daimler. One of the
okay.
Mr. Benz or Mr. Daimler. I just don't remember.
Invented the car. I have no idea who invented the car. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I know all this, you know, useless information. Who invented the car?
Henry Ford was in there at the beginning,
somewhere,
wasn't he?
Yeah, that's what I would think. But maybe that's just my American sort of, you know, lens.
No, he was the first to mass produce cars.
Yeah.
Right.
So the Model
right.
T
okay.
then became the thing that everybody wanted because it was the only car that was like easily and readily available.
Gotcha.
Right. Okay.
A lot of the main car companies were you would get the body and then you would send it off to a coach builder to then get customized to your specific taste.
Gotcha.
But that's if you were rich. If you
That'd
weren't rich,
gig.
You just coach went to builder. Ford and got a Model T. Right? Yeah.
Gig.
Yeah,
right. I loved it. Well done.
We just weave it all through.
So Ford mass produces the car, but mm-hmm. I'm curious about that. The you know
why the, we the were on left hand drive. Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
Like when that decision was made, and who was like, you know, who did it first, and then who said, mm-hmm. well, I think we're gonna do it the other way here.
We have to come back on the next episode with some research.
We are. We're just gonna have to hit the highway and speed on out of episode number two because it's time for episode. Listen to me, episode. I'm so excited about the segue. Topic number three for this episode of 5x5 is second dates. Second dates.
It's the second thing in a row we've had date-related.
Two Justins.
It's a Justin thing, I think.
Yeah.
Dating stuff.
You bring the Justins
in.
Justins
are experts at dating stuff. So even though I haven't dated for 25 years, I think.
25.
Because you're so expert at it.
Other than my wife, you know, obviously,
date
I
night.
Still go on dates with my wife.
Absolutely.
Hmm. We're on our 3,000th date. I don't know how to say that.
I really wish you had kept count.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, he has to keep adding wood to the thing that he's ticking on the thing.
Right.
It's like this long... It's in the neighbor's backyard. They're like, get this thing the hell out of my yard, Justin. He goes over every Sunday morning. He goes over and notches another, you know.
Yeah.
Well, like we went out last night. I'm going to notch another one in there.
I have them on my belt. I don't.
Right, exactly. Well, what was the second date with your wife?
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Well, this
is embarrassing.
2,998 dates ago, so I mean, it's...
Yes, so it would have been, let's see, I think the first date... No, it would have been actually at the pool behind my apartment. So I lived in a little, at the top floor of a farmhouse in Mountville, and Mr. Fry explicitly prohibited us from having anyone in his pool. We were allowed to go in as tenants.
Right.
But we were not allowed. So of course I had pool parties there. You know, I just completely blew the rule apart. Poor Mr. Fry. But my second date with my wife, I believe, was when she came over and we went swimming. So it was kind of fun.
So you're breaking the law, basically. Your second date, you just went straight for the...
I think we might have even broken some rules in the first date, too. So, oh. But the second date, for sure, yeah, that's...
Now would Mr. Fry, I don't mean to, veer too far off from the date, but mm-hmm. would Mr. I'm just so curious about Mr. Fry.
He was a trip. He was... There was a lot of shit for which he would not put up with, you know? Mm. Like he didn't put up with a lot of shit, but he never called me on the many, many violations of his pool policy. We had a pool party. I'm not kidding you. We had a pool party one night and it was loud. There were probably 9-10 people there.
Okay.
He was home, but we started the pool party at like 9:15, turned the lights on the pool. He was on the first floor, so he could probably look out his window and see us in the pool.
Nothing.
Never saw anything, heard anything, never, ever. Called me on it.
See, that's what I was wondering, is if Mr. Fry, like, you waited till, like, you saw Fry take off, like, Fry's gone for the night, we know he usually comes back, so we're going to have the party, or if he's, like, peeking out the blinds, you know, like,
no, what's going I did on it right out there, Quinn? It was right in front of him, and it was egregious.
Okay, so it's obvious, then, that the whole idea of the pool party rule was one of those, like, fake rules, so that you have mm-hmm. one to break, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you create the rules that don't really matter that much because you know what I mean? And then you kind of give the leeway there so that you can come down really hard on the other rule that really matters.
Yeah.
And you won't seem like a total dick because you're just, you know what I mean? You're like, you kind of given a little. So it was obviously a fake rule. He didn't care about it.
Well, and I would have loved for him to say something to me about the pool.
Oh, because, did you practice it? You like rehearsed your comeback?
I would have said something to him about the heat that was non-existent on the second floor. So I had to sleep in the kitchen with the oven on in a sleeping bag when it got really cold outside. I swear to God, I'm not lying to you. It was horrible.
And you had this tucked away. You're like,
I was ready.
I'm waiting for Fry to mention the pool just one time.
Oh, you've got a problem with the pool?
Yeah.
Let me read you the mini.
Exactly.
Let's talk about the heat, Mr. Fry.
Exactly. Yeah, and the bugs, too. There were bugs. Oh, my gosh.
Not bed bugs, I hope.
Pool bugs.
Oh, no. No, other undesirable bugs.
All right, understood.
I'm gonna put you on the spot then, Justin. What was the third date?
Mm.
Probably a show. I can't remember. Again, those were very blurry days.
Yeah. I completely understand.
I don't even
25 years ago, I have a big gap.
I hear you.
Yeah. I was four. It's terrible.
Yeah, well, this date is over. I had nowhere really to go with it, so we're going to go right to topic number four of this episode's 5x5. Topic number four is candles. Candles. Hmm. Did you a candle guy?
It depends. I mean, no, it's... My thing is, like, I used to be very sensitive to, like, super strong scents. So candles used to be a complete no-go for me.
Right.
But the worst was, I think it was Crate and Barrel, where at least the Crate and Barrel that my mom would take me to, as soon as you went upstairs, which is where she always wanted to go, there was a couch she wanted to look at. I think that it was like the candle rack was just like right in front of you when you got upstairs. And they always had this terrible smelling maple syrup candle that would just like, I literally had to walk by holding my nose because otherwise I'd have a headache. I couldn't take it. I'm okay with candles now.
Oh, good.
I've learned that I like soy-based candles. I like the way they burn. Or I like the smell they emanate. But for the most part, I'm more of a where's the Febreze type of person.
Okay. So if I just stop by unexpectedly, like on a Saturday evening, and you're just sitting there in your leather chair reading your leather-bound book.
Drinking a cup of tea.
Yes,
is there a candle burning or no?
No.
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 Justin, how about you? You strike me as a candle guy, Justin.
You know, you're absolutely right. I am a candle guy. Unfortunately, at my house, we can't be candle people.
How come?
Well, it has to be a very specific kind of candle in order to be lit in our house. My wife,
birthday?
She suffers
Is it
from,
birthday?
Well, those, they're fine. They're acceptable. Anything that has an odor, though, has to be cleared through my wife. She suffers from migraines.
Oh.
And those really heavy-scented candles.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm the type of guy who just loves the smell and the ambiance created by candles. But like cats, we can't, you know, we can't have those things. So,
gotcha. See, now, and the reason that I mentioned that is because, of course, Justin's a coworker with us here at the Candy Factory. We're all co-working. So, you know, we've had a lot of conversations, and I know that, you know, you've talked about your love for the Grateful Dead and,
yes.
and, the blurry times of the 25 plus years ago. So I just kind of had this picture of you in my head of like the, you know, the empty bottle with the stick candle that sort of the psychedelic candle holder. You're that guy, aren't you?
Oh, hey, man. There was a time where just making candles was really what I wanted to do with my life, man.
Exactly.
That was great. That was great.
I could just see it. You'd walk in, you know, Justin be rolling out of bed 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon. And and there'd be this you know, whiskey bottle that had
from the pool party.
It'd be like it'd be like the fourth layer of wax, the fourth color sort of layered up there. Because, you know, once you just rip off the little nub and you stick a new candle in there and fire it up.
Want to hear something weird, though?
Yeah, no.
So we're not candle people, but we are incense people. And you would think that incense would actually have a more profound effect on her migraines because it's very odorous.
Well, sure. That's all. It's really, that's all it's got.
Nope.
I mean, the candle has the light.
Yeah, exactly. We do have to be careful of the kind of incense as well, but she's much more amenable to incense than she is candles. Go figure.
What's the flavor? What's the flavor of the Quinn household?
There is a very – so there's two, all right? The first is that hippie incense that you would smell like when you'd go into a head shop. Love those, okay? Mm. But then the other is like completely the opposite. It's the incense that they have in church.
Like in a Catholic church?
In a Catholic church. I love that smell. And the first time I ever had it was – or smelled it was when I went to a Catholic – mass with my wife, and I was just like, that smells great. And so my brother-in-law's a priest, and he hooked us up with some of it, so it was kind of cool.
He just hooked you up like back in the parking lot of the church.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, hey you got any of incense?
That's under his robe.
give me three cones and a couple bags.
Right. But I need the thing you swing around to.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's funny because I was an altar boy. I grew up Catholic, and I was an altar boy for like 6 years. And then I hated that smell. I hated.
Really?
I'm an incense guy. Like now, you know what I mean. I like sandalwood and patchouli and that kind of stuff. But the church incense is like it's a little PTSD. You know what I mean? Like so, I don't go there. You know what I mean? That's like that's for a different place. In a different time. And I hate to say it, but this mass is over, my friends. It's time to move on to topic number 5. This episode's 5x5, which is your least favorite sound. Your least favorite sound.
Ooh.
Well, there's so many of them. There really are.
No particular.
It's one person who I don't actually know who he was. But in the normal times, there was a crew of us that used to go to Wings at Quips every Monday, and someone in the far back had the world's most annoying laugh, and was making himself laugh is what was killing me, and it like was this piercing. So I guess the thread of my sounds would be piercing. I can't do piercing.
Piercing
sounds just drive me nuts. But like that laugh, I almost like left Wings early because it was just driving me up a wall.
That's
serious.
Yeah, I almost got a box and was like, I will meet you guys at the next place. I can't deal with this.
Check, please.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of interesting because when I think of least favorite sounds, you think of sort of like a generic general sound. But for Diggs, it's like this guy.
It was
quips. Yeah. Like at this one.
It's like, and this I've never work. Heard him again. I've never seen him. I couldn't tell you what he looks like. If he laughed, I'd know it.
Let me tell you about you, Justin. Where are you at with the least favorite sound?
So, you know, there's your standard least favorite sounds like nails on a chalkboard, fork on a plate, you know. Right. But if I were to pin it down, it would have to be one of the sounds that one of my daughters makes. Like one day I know I'll regret saying this and I'll be like, oh, I wish she would make that sound again. But I'll tell you what, there's a whole thing, and both of them have this, where they'll like start like squawking like what they think is an animal, even though it's some sort of howl or noise that I've never heard before. And yeah, it gets under your skin. So it's especially when it's over and over and over and over again, you know, it's nuts.
Are they watching like Animal Planet? Like what?
Well, so my one daughter, Lily, they're twins, by the way, they're both nine. And Lily is a nature lover. So, and then Rose is kind of a nature lover too. That's my other daughter. Rose is more of a physical performer. So she'll actually get down on all fours and pretend that she's a horse. Lily likes to sort of mimic the sounds that they make. And so sometimes she gets it spot on. Like she can do a cricket noise that she was doing it at the beach and people were just like, where's a cricket on the beach? I'm serious. It was crazy. But sometimes she misses. Man.
And she just has this imagine there's this one animal.
I don't even know what it is. Like she tries to be like a giraffe or something and it's like, and you know, I mean, good Lord, I was hoping that they'd be able to watch this. Nope.
Maybe neither my wife. It could be a chupacabra. Right.
It could be. Yeah, it could be.
One of those
mysterious.
Is
that what that sounds like?
You know, yeah, I mean, it sounds pretty close to the chupacabra I've dealt with.
You dealt with
it? Is this a real thing?
Wait a minute.
No, you know,
is there a sex thing that we can do? Because I want to delve into the chupacabra with you.
So the chupacabra are these, you know, it's sort of the mysterious animal in like Mexico, the southwest part of the
United States.
Puerto Rico.
Goat sucker.
They suck all the blood out of the animals. Like you'll wake up and you'll go out to your field and there'll be like five dead cows and there will be not a drop of blood.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And it's the chupacabra. They come at night.
Huh. Okay.
And
how big are these things?
They slaughter these animals. And, there's some, you know, on the internet.
Oh boy!
There are some great photos of the chupacabra that people have taken. I don't know a whole lot about the chupacabra, but I know enough about them to bring it up and explain it this way.
Well, it's got to be one of your least favorite sounds for sure.
Absolutely. I can't take it. Every time I'm around a chupacabra, I'm like, God, turn that damn thing off. But I will say, though, in the spirit of that, I think my least favorite sound is a whining dog, like a crying dog.
Oh, yeah. That's like a sad sound.
It just drives me up a wall when they're just whining, mm-hmm. especially if you're trying to do something. And I got to tell you, my second favorite, no, wait, my second least, my second worst sound, whatever the hell, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is when you go to the grocery store and you buy a bunch of groceries and you forget your bags, so that you put them into plastic bags and you put the plastic bags in the car and you're driving down the road. I'm going to finish this, even though this is the end of the story.
I want to hear
it. That's it. Okay. Welcome. We'll see you next time. No. So you're driving down the road and you take a turn and you can hear the crinkle and you know that that can or that jar is getting ready to roll. And you're in the turn. Nothing you can do about it. And you hear the crinkle in the bag and you hear it just slip. And then you hear the roll. And then you hear it hit the back of the, like if you have a van or a wagon or something, it hits the back and you're just like, oh, no. Because all you can think of is the beets, that, you know, cracked jar and beet juice on your tan interior.
This hasn't happened to you before, right?
Every single time I go to Giant and I come down there by the Taco Bell, no matter what I do with those bags, and I go to turn right on Columbia Avenue, man, that's, oh. And like WJAL gives me, when I drive by WJAL, I get the heebie-jeebies because that's always the spot where those things start rolling out of my bags. Anyway.
Yeah.
I think we need a topic, put in a topic for this. For
absolutely. Yeah.
Number six. Let's do six by six.
Justin, that's the fastest 25 minutes of podcasting. That's all we can give these people.
Ding.
That's all we can give them every week because it's just too much. There's too much magic, and we don't want to overload the internet. With glory.
Can't do it.
Yeah. Just, we have to balance it. This is what 5x5 does for the internet every week is it balances out all the negativity.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't go too far because if the world is too happy, then a lot of industries will go down.
Yeah.
Anyway, fastest 25 minutes of podcasting. Justin Quinn, so great to have you on the program.
Hey, thank you so much. It was great to be here. I've been wanting this for so long.
Dreaming, right? Dreaming.
That's over. And I don't know, I'm empty inside now, you know?
It's like Thanksgiving. It's like you're putting the dishes in the dishwasher after Thanksgiving dinner. Like 364 damn days till I get to eat turkey again.
Yeah.
All right.
It's like Christmas night, you know, just before you go to bed. It's all over.
It's over.
You know?
It's over. Yeah. All you can think about is how long it's going to take you to take that damn tree down and those lights.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I should have just done three strings this year. Why did I have to Griswold on that? All right, we're going to catch you next time on 5x5. We'll see you guys later. The Candy Factory 5x5 podcast
is a proud member of the Candy Factory Collective. 5x5 video can be found on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn.
Subscribe to the audio version wherever you get your podcasts.
The Candy Factory 5x5 podcast is recorded at the studios of the Candy Factory, a co-working campus in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
The show is produced and hosted by Jason Mundock,
along with co-host Robert Diggs.
Editing and additional production by Anna Tran.
The opinions and views expressed on this podcast
are solely those of the expressor.
The Candy Factory is not in any way responsible if anyone said something stupid.
Our theme music was composed
and recorded by a really cool guy.
Really cool guy.
A really cool guy.
Really cool guy named John Chin.
Relevant links and show notes can be found on the show post
at our website, candyfactorycollective.com.
Maybe that's it.
Is that it? Okay.
Candy Factory.
Collective.